Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios for this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. We're continuing this morning where we kind of started yesterday. We are now kicking off our city council conversations with the candidates who are running for Ward 3. Ward 5 and Ward 6 in the city of Tucson. Juan Padres was on running in Ward 3 yesterday, and the first half of our show will be spent with Andres Portela, who's running for Ward 6 in the Democratic primary. We'll also catch up with Devin Underwood for Workforce Pivot. She's the founder and principal of the Talent Store, helping Tucson's workers and employers get back to work well here after COVID. That's our show today, 790-2040. But that's not the number that Andres used to call in, because Andres is here in studio with us, which is always a treat. Good morning to you, sir. Thanks
good
for being
morning,
here.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So you've been on the show before in different capacities. But for those who don't know you, who is Andres Portela?
Andres. Go ahead.
Why Ward 6? And we'll get into your platform.
Yeah. So before I jump into my platform, and Zach, I do this every time. Every time I come here, I say something that is like totally off subject, which today it's about SB 1485, which is the lack of protections for the permanent early voter list. I am an advocate for, if you want to vote, you should have the right to vote unencumbered. This is for everyone, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, everyone. Our voting rights are being taken from us, and so we should really pay attention to state legislature right now. So about me, I always say I'm a kid from born and raised in Sierra Vista, Arizona, but my mother is fourth generation Tucsonan. With that level of understanding, living in Sierra Vista, you know that there is nothing going on the weekends. So you have to come up to Tucson. And I developed this love, deep seated for what is now what is current day Ward 6. My mom, she grew up right outside of Anza Park. That was her first sights. And as I started to make this transition, the last time I was here, I was working for Southwest Fair Housing Council and making the transition to working as a senior policy advisor for the city of Tucson. I started to hear community say that they wanted this and they wanted that. And I was using that to create policy on the city side. And as we were creating policy, there was constantly a disconnect of what the policy was coming to the table and what the community was asking for. So as someone who finds love and place in Tucson, it's time we protect our home, which is the platform that I'm running on, which is housing, opportunity, mobility justice, and environmental justice. And just to kind of jump into those a little bit, is housing keeps Tucson families in their homes while addressing homelessness, affordability for young families, aging in placers, renters, and everyone in between. And this is extremely important to me. I've been a housing expert for years, quote unquote expert. As someone who's lived the lived experience as both a renter and an owner, but also someone who's been homeless living in their car as a college student, it's extremely important we find solutions for folks to stay in place. And then going on to opportunity, we need to expand our public health resources here in the city of Tucson. And we've been saying this for years. If we look at old documents through Plan Tucson, the community has said we want to start focusing on being very intentional in our parks, being very intentional in our communities, having access to education, having access to robust transportation systems. That is what it encompasses opportunity. So it's time we start focusing on home rather than expanding large roadways. And that's where I transition to mobility justice. Instead of expanding Broadway and Grant, I understand we want to get places faster, but I've been hit on my bike 4 times here in the city of Tucson. And that's, everyone should have the opportunity to feel safe while getting around our city. And so really we need to invest in prioritizing our neighborhood streets, which is quite contentious, because what happens is we don't focus on our neighborhood streets. I remember hearing a story while working in the Ward 1 office of someone who did not have the road repairs in their neighborhood streets since the 1960s when they bought their house. They said that it would just be pothole fixing here and there, but never anything too cumbersome. And environmental justice, it's putting real focus and intentional planning around our Million Trees initiative, around all of these things that we hear in name and in thought. But when it comes to practical application, it's truly just planting trees. We need to think from an environmentalist perspective. We need to trust the experts and have a conversation I had once I said I was running for office with an environmentalist, and they said, we need a stormwater infrastructure fund, but we also need to start retaining stormwater. And so really, these are the things that make up my platform. Ultimately, this is my home. This is where I want to raise my kids. And that's why I'm running for office.
We're with Andres Portela this morning, running for the Ward 6 City Council seat, one of three Democrats in the primary. In our second segment together here, you're with us through the bottom of the hour. I want to do a bit of a lightning round on a few city issues and get your thoughts. It'll be good.
Yeah.
I just want to cover as much ground as possible. But before we go to our first break in 2 minutes or so, I want to ask you this. This could be considered kind of the elephant in the room of folks certainly who are looking at you and go, I'd like to support this guy, but I have a question. And the question I've heard, and I'd love to hear your response and or pushback. There's three Democrats in the race. Certainly, Steve Kozacik would seem to be compared to you, and Miranda Schubert, more moderate. Some would say, look, Miranda and Andres would seem to agree on a lot of issues, maybe in the same kind of area, left of center. Does that give Steve Kozacik the win? I'm imagining you hear that on the trail, and I wanted to give you a chance to respond to that. Differentiate yourself. If someone's looking at you, why you over Miranda Schubert, over Steve Kozacik, who's been there a while? Why you?
My wife would hate that I would say this, but I'm going to make the comparison to the three little bears. For me, it's too much, not enough, just right. I am just right. If you look at my experience, if you look at my track record of community engagement and thoughtful and intentional planning, you will find someone who has been working hard with community and not for community. And I make that distinction because what we see currently is that policy is being made in a vacuum. It is being made in a way that does not include community. And then after it's done being made in that vacuum, we get the policy and everyone gets frustrated. So really, I have that track record of building that community, bringing them around me and pushing for policy. But really what makes me that so much different is Steve K has that pragmatism. That's great. But he lacks vision. And so really I am the pragmatist, but also the vision. I have, if you look at my last 12 years and then you compare it to someone else's last 12 years, you will find that my vision has always been rooted in community, has always been rooted in progress. And it doesn't matter which side of the political aisle you are on. My service is to my community and to our people. And our people is just the larger Tucson area. So that's what makes me different.
Andres Portela running for Ward 6. We like to always have these first candidate conversations be at that high level to start of who are you, why are you running? When we come back, I want to talk at least public safety, affordable housing, and roads and infrastructure. If we can solve those three themes, we're going to be a great city.
Yeah.
And I think everyone on both sides of the aisle, Andres, looks at all three of those issues and go, we're not where we need to be yet. I want to get your thoughts as a candidate, as an elected. Where would you go on those issues? We'll be right back with Andres here on 1030. The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Radio by and for the people of Tucson. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com. now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in The Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them, and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk, 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. We're back in studio for this drive time hour of Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, with Andres Portela running for Ward 6 City Council seat here in the city of Tucson, one of three Democrats running in that primary, which will wrap up in August. Andres, I want to talk about a few policy items, a few issues, and get your thoughts and kind of give folks a flavor of how you're coming at these issues. I'd like to start with public safety. And I think two big questions. One is, do we have a problem or not? And I think there's some who would argue we don't, and there's some who would argue we do. Where do you fall along that? We'll start there. I have a follow-up to that. But do we have a public safety problem in the city of Tucson?
So that's a great question. And rather than do what most politicians do, which is talk around the question, I'm going to go directly at it. I'm going to say yes and. Yes, and so yes, we have a problem, but there are solutions and alternatives. So right now we have services being knocked off of our public safety department, which is TPD. And what we need to do is use this as an opportunity to say, are we going to jump in full scale and start to rebuild the police department, or are we going to look at the pre-police? Are we going to look at public safety communications, and how they interact with the 311 system or interact with a office of public health, which is what I've been advocating for, is really an office of public health, but also investment in our transportation and mobility department. Yes, to answer your question, yes, we do have a problem. we've dropped some services. We need to find alternatives to make sure that everyone in our community feels safe.
A quick follow-up question that I think will flesh out your position on that, Andres, and I asked Juan Padres this yesterday as well, is what is your magic number, right? So Magnus is saying if we continue on the path we are, and I think this is the extreme situation, this is not to say it's going to get there, but if it, the extreme continues of attrition and lack of retention, we'll be, what, 710 deployable officers. We could be dipping under 700. Magnus says he'd like 950, give or take. The officers on the streets would actually like closer to 1,100, 1,200. What's your magic number? What's the number that accomplishes what you just said?
Whew. Zach, you asked me a question that you've asked me before. And you have asked me, what is my magic number? And I always tell you, I have no clue. I do not know what the magic number is. But what I do believe is that we have services that are being put to the wayside. We also have a community that during the participatory budgeting process last year said, either don't defund or defund the police. And we really need to convene all of those people once again, have a true conversation about what public safety in the future of Tucson looks like. What public safety in the future of Tucson looks like for me is kind of the route we've been taking with Thrive in the 05, where we have gone into schools, we have done the pre-policing, but also when we do the pre-policing, we have to have someone who is commander of all of that space. And really, that's where I'm advocating for an Office of Public Health. And we have folks who are mental health coordinators. We have folks who are trained to understand racial justice and social justice and with as city employees, but also working in tandem with Tucson Police. So do I have a magic number? I do not.
Yep, no worries. And again, thank you for answering that question directly. I want to, we may have some time to circle back to this at the end, but I definitely wanted to hit a couple other topics with you. Andres Portela running for Ward 6 in the city of Tucson. Let's talk roads. You mentioned neighborhood roads as a part of your platform. There are some areas of the city that haven't seen repairs in 30 years, yep. Which is crazy to me. I think I got a little bit of heat for this, but I call it like I see it. I congratulated Mayor Romero for pushing $14 million from the general fund to road repair. Mm-hmm. It's a drop in the bucket, but if you look at the city of Tucson budget, we use HERF for street repair.
Correct.
To put money into the general fund, it's actually, to me, a big policy deal. You've been in the weeds on this for a while. Is that the answer? Do we keep doing more of that? And if so, how do we keep allocating more dollars to road repair? How do you solve that?
So there is a narrative that is going to come up, and is, do we raise taxes? I am not in the raise taxes camp, but it could be beneficial. Do we bond it out? That is an option. But putting some money right now is a great short-term solution. We need long-term solutions. And that's where we bring in our experts for transportation and mobility, and we ask them, how do we do long-term visioning and planning around the city of Tucson, specifically for roads? So $14 million, that's a great start. HERF, that's a great thought. What we need is a larger transportation mobility plan for the whole city of Tucson. We've started to make those inroads, but it's time to take it to the next level.
Yeah. And I think the thought to put a pin in, we're going to have you on, I hope, multiple times before August.
I'm here for it.
But, you know, when I have these conversations, I remember this back in 2019, too, in the last city council cycle, is we would always talk about, oh, we've got this limited pot of funds, and how do we redistribute it and move it around? Nobody talks about what it means to grow the pie.
Yep.
And the fact of the matter is we can fix more roads if our general fund is bigger, and we are
Correct.
Putting more resources through economic growth. Nobody is talking about that.
Yeah, and that's, we always have this conversation, Zach, of silos. We need to bring in the business community. We need to bring in the nonprofit community. We need to bring in our transportation experts. We need to bring in everyone. Have a candid conversation about prioritizing specific issues for a long-term visioning and planning process. I have a good record of that. We've done it through Thrive in the 05, which I was a part of, not leading. But we started to vision what would reducing poverty, but having real solutions to public safety. There was a lot of conversations coming together with the University of Arizona, but also ASU. And it's, it was, I get, I, when I think back on it, I get chills because you really saw the city of Tucson starting to plan as one unit. And we are starting to see that around the Sunshine Mile. And I'm going to catch flack for that because there was a robust community engagement process around the Sunshine Mile. And we have community fighting back. But that's a moment for us. This is a moment we can call them in and say, you don't have to fight us. You have our ear. This is an opportunity for us to engage.
Andres, I want to make sure that I don't cramp you on what I know is a topic that, as you've said, you have been in for a long time, and the moment is now, and it's housing. We are short on affordable housing. We don't develop it fast enough. We say no more than we say yes. On Tuesday, the city council talked about, do we set up our own development corporation so the city owns this again? What are your thoughts here in the time that we have remaining on how do we get more affordable housing to happen in Tucson?
So during my time with the city of Tucson, and this kind of predates my time with the city of Tucson, around the time that you and I took this trip to Austin and San Antonio and really just looking at all of the issues of communities that are like ours, as a part of that trip, I took some additional trips with Southwest Fair Housing Council to New Orleans, to Baltimore. There were some more cities, but I just don't remember off the top of my head. But we took this tour, and in Baltimore, we learned supply. They had a similar situation of the city of Tucson. They did not have supply. So what did they do? They increased their amount of supply. And what did it do? It created more unaffordability. They didn't do an intentional enough to create solutions to unaffordability. So we had that. San Antonio and Austin, we saw a similar market as the city of Tucson. We saw supply, demand, both very high. And they started to land bank. That is a very viable option. We also saw in Austin, bonding. We saw billions of dollars come together in one city, and they could never figure out the solution to affordability. So how do we bring it all together? In the city of Tucson, I genuinely believe that a development corporation is a good option. But it also takes community to be involved in this process. Like you said, we hear no more than we hear yes. So it's time we go to community with actual renderings for what it looks like for an apartment or higher density in our neighborhoods, but also what does it look like to have affordability. I think we can look at land use through looking at whether R1 zoning or R2 zoning, and that's just residential one, which is single family, what we see, but also increasing that density so we can have a na-na flat in the backyard. There's some options here, but we have to see it. We need it to be tangible.
Andres Portela, we're hitting up at the bottom of the hour. We have a caller. We're not going to be able to get to the call. I'm happy to take the call on the other side of the hour. Andres won't be with us, but if someone wants to ask you a question they couldn't ask, or they want to reach out to you, where can people go on your website?
OurWardNumber6Tucson.com. And engage with me, really. There's multiple opportunities for you to donate, but also ask me questions. Tell me about your vision, about what you want in our community, our home. My whole campaign is built off representative based leadership. So please come to my website, OurWard6Tucson.com.
Andres Portela for Ward 6. We'll be right back.
A Bloomberg Money Minute and CBS News at the bottom of every hour. 10:30, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Tucson and Southern Arizona, good morning again to you. If you're just joining us, welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. It's been a good two last days, starting yesterday and today, with two city council candidates. By the way, two younger professionals, and I'm always excited to see folks south of 40 who are jumping into a situation that honestly is not easy if you are a younger person. If you're trying to raise a family and have a job, running for political office locally or at the state level is really, really difficult. So I always admire people who do that. We're going to, of course, get all of the candidates running in the primary races here ahead of August on the show, and we're back in the grind. It is an off year, but not on Tipping Point. We take every election seriously. It's a good time. So you can check out that interview with Andres Portela, our guest at the top of the hour, running for Ward 6, Tucson City Council. We've got a few moments to take any of your calls, questions, thoughts, 790-2040. A bit of a shorter segment here ahead of our conversation that we have on Thursdays with Devin Underwood, Workforce Pivots. How do we get Tucson's workers and employers back to work well? But I did want to land on kind of one of the last questions that I was asking Andres. It was more of an editorial comment near the end, where when we talk about public safety, we talk about housing, we talk about roads, so often the conversation lands in a scarcity mindset. And I don't say that in a negative way. I say that because so often we go to, well, this is usually what our budget is, right? This is the amount of money we have to work with. And it's a give and take of what gets a little bit less investment so you can focus over here. Right? And I'll say it again. I mentioned it in the segment before. I think the mayor and council putting $14 million from the general fund into roads is a big deal. To me, that is what I hope is a policy precedent, right? Because HERF dollars fund staff, they fund road repair. HERF dollars from the state. Traditionally, in the last couple budget cycles, the city of Tucson hasn't put general fund dollars towards roads. It's not how it's done. So even a drop in the bucket like $14 million for neighborhood streets, I think should be, and I hope is, a policy precedent. I hope we do more of that. But so often we approach it and we go, well, that's probably going to be a one or two time thing, right? We had some surplus, you know, that was created from an austerity budget for COVID that wasn't as austere. We've got $25 million surplus in the bank. Let's put half of that, you know, plus towards roads. My editorial comment to Andres was, why don't we have these conversations in light of, okay, how do we grow the economic pie? How do we create more resources for the city of Tucson to solve problems? And I thought it was interesting because I've been tracking the conversation in the city of Tucson around this thing called the GPLET and the Central Business District. Central Business District is about 2% of Tucson's planning area. It's in the downtown area. And the state allows cities with those districts to use a tool called the GPLET, which is basically an elimination of a property tax for 8 years. There's a little bit of property tax paid, but it's a government property lease excise tax. And that's as deep as I'll go into the acronyms. And some of the community frustration has been, hey, are we giving these benefits to developers who don't need them? And when we do give them, are they bringing benefit back into the community? So if you'll remember, about a year ago, the city was about to expand both the Central Business District and the GPLET, and community fervor brought that conversation back, and we've been having the conversation for a year now. So on Tuesday, I'll tell you this story and then I'll get to my point and then we'll go to a break. But on Tuesday, I was watching the community update to the city council on the GPLET conversation. Now, I will admit to you, I'm oversimplifying it just a little bit, right? This is all nuanced, and I try to express things in a nuanced way. But the kind of conversation that was being had, to me, basically reflected, look, we looked at the budget, and when we take land that is not developed, and we develop it, and we incentivize high land costs in downtown by this benefit to developers so they can go to the bank and make the numbers work, and those things happen, it brings a ton of money into the city. And what I was hearing from some of the folks who've been working on this, and I appreciate them and their work, was basically, look, what if we address neighbors' concerns about housing and infrastructure and equity and small business support, right? Because small businesses can't really access this development tool in the same way bigger companies can. What if we take some of the income generated from the GPLET and we focus it on some of these pots of money? And I thought to myself, that's almost where we were a year ago. You know, I think it's great to have the conversation, to be intentional about saying, look, when we do development, these other things are impacted. How do we balance that impact with other sources of funding? But broadly, to me, it's interesting that we think about this issue as if it's revelatory, right? I thought to myself, oh, so economic development creates more resources to solve problems. When income goes up and budgets increase, we can tackle the challenges. Andres mentioned Austin floating, I think it was $200 million in bonds. You know why Austin can float $200 million in bonds for affordable housing? Well, they had to do it partially because they grew so fast, things got unaffordable. But the fact was that they had a booming economy. And a booming economy gave them the resources to solve problems. But we don't necessarily think about it that way. In I think particularly the city of Tucson. And what if we approached issues of saying, look, how do we look at a smart growth policy that encourages a development of our economy so we have not just the resources we have today, but the resources that we need tomorrow to actually go and solve problems? We don't have the resources to go and solve problems today. And so we're left constantly moving the shell around to try and figure out how we whack-a-mole the problems of today, because we have operated in a planless way that doesn't allow for the income needed to solve problems, right? We talk about, well, what meal will I miss on today so I can fix the hole in my roof? We don't ask ourselves, how do we grow our monthly budget so I can eat and fix the roof? And it blows my mind that blows people's minds. Oh, man. So that's my thought. And, you know, I appreciate people like Andres, who I know are thinking in that direction of what does it mean not to just manage the pie, but to grow the pie. And we don't think in those terms as often. Maybe I'm thinking too simply. I'm always open for your phone call, 790-2040. We're going to go to our last break of the hour. When we come back, Devin Underwood, Workforce Pivots, just ahead here on Tipping Point, 1030 The Voice.
Valley to Vail and everywhere in between. 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens football facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in the Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them, and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429. Equal housing opportunity.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson and Southern Arizona, we are back here in the 1030 The Voice studios. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Real quick, a listener commented that I had gotten my Austin numbers wrong. Not one bond, but three bonds have been floated within the last 5 years for affordable housing development. And it wasn't $200 million, it was almost a billion. So I'm always happy to have undershot reality. And thanks to listeners who keep me on my toes. So I just wanted to clarify that. I think details are important. Devin Underwood is our guest for the balance of the hour, founder and principal of The Talent Store. We talk workforce pivots, getting Tucson's workers and employers back to work well here in Greater Tucson. Good morning to you, Devin. Happy Thursday.
Hi, Zach. Happy Thursday. How are you?
Doing well. It's good to hear you. So here's the question that I want to kick us off with, just in light of this kind of post, I don't even say post-COVID because I'm not sure we're there yet, but after, you know, the COVID response, what are businesses that you work struggling with the most? What services do you provide that seem to be the most helpful, the most often to Tucson companies that you work with?
Well, right now we're doing a lot of recruiting. So that's the service that that people need the most. I think that they've, you know, both decided that they need to refill their teams. There's some key positions needed to be filled. There's some businesses that have pivoted what they're servicing or see opportunity coming out of COVID that they want to make sure they're ready to respond to. So the big focus for us right now is headhunting and recruiting, which is always what we do really well and what we get excited about.
Right.
In addition to that, we're trying to launch a membership program. And this is in response to kind of the other side of the equation where people are coming out and maybe needing more consulting services. They want to just brainstorm, get help in how they're structuring their teams, get help in how they're looking at hiring, looking at retention, looking at the positions within their organization. And we've reduced our consulting fee or tried to get a more approachable membership option so that you can leverage our resources in consulting without getting into a big, more expensive project or contract. So we're excited to get that off the ground soon and get people some support in kind of new ways.
I love it. I think I've asked you this question before, but I'm always interested in how the needs are, you know, maybe changing or as we progress through this thing. What positions, what types of jobs do you see a trend, out of 10 positions that you're recruiting for, as an example? Are you seeing 3, 5, 6 of those all centering around the same need of skill set or the same position? Are you seeing any trends of what positions companies are needing the most right now?
Well, for us, because we're so focused on not just skills and experience, but really matching culture fit, soft skills, all of those other pieces of the puzzle that are so important, a lot of companies are using us to find, you could call it your number two, your COO, your director of ops. Seems to be a position we're working on quite a bit. Hmm. And this is somebody who is an implementer. That's a big deal right now for lots of companies. Somebody who can take a vision, who understands the need or the opportunity in front of the company, and then can execute. That's the biggest need right now I'm seeing, and we're working on a lot of those types of roles. So allowing the visionary, the CEO, the person who founded the company, or the person who's leading as president, CEO, to vision and lean forward, and somebody who can get in the day-to-day and execute and make things happen. Bring people together, look at systems and systems orientation, understanding of financials and P&L, understanding of all of those hows that make everything work together. And depending on the industry, those hows are different, but that's what we really are seeking right now and what we're tasked with looking for in a lot of different ways. I think a lot of companies are seeing that they need execution, yeah, and they need to keep things moving forward, and they need to bring their teams together and get everybody working in a more cohesive way.
Are you sensing that as a bit of a trend different from what it was pre-COVID? Like, do you see that as a very COVID response for companies of like lots of change, lots of shift, need to bring teams back? It's time for an operator in a way that maybe I, as a president or CEO, didn't need before COVID. Is that a thing, or?
I don't know if it's related to COVID. I think there may be some stressors that came out of COVID that showed light on, I really need a partner in this. I can't do it all. Or maybe I'm not best suited for this as the founder or CEO. And I need somebody who can really execute on it. It's always a need, though. And I think there's a lot of companies finally recognizing it here in that small, mid company size. In the larger companies, always execution is a huge focus, right, on the key positions we work on. And that's what we're digging out, is those proven track records of execution and successful leveraging of resources and teams.
You know, Devin, as you were talking, I was thinking of the small to mid-sized company leaders and founders that I'm thinking of, who I know listen to this show and listen to this station. What type of companies get the most value out of partnering with the Talent Store, partnering with organizations that do similar things? Who do you work with the most, would you say?
We really work with small and mid-sized companies the most, and those are companies that are probably anywhere from 50 to 500 employees, and really help them with growth. Oftentimes there's new leadership needed because they're getting to a new scale. We help them with pivoting business, so changing business. and helping them really identify not just, so a typical recruiter, you just give them a job rec and you say, hey, find this person. Here's this seat. This is what this job description always looks like. We need another one. We really work with people in a much more partnered way so they can come to us and say, here's what I want to get done. What position is that?
Hmm.
Who is that? Where do they live in the market? How do we talk about the role? How do we pay or compensate this person? And we help in lots of ways so they can determine that, and then we go find them.
Hmm. That's really powerful. I wanted to ask you a very, I think, specific question for a lot of businesses and get your thoughts on it, and then we'll close with how companies can work for you. But I just saw this report this morning, Devin, that there is some real trends that say a huge percent of remote work is here to stay. That companies and office workers are both saying, hey, we'd like to continue working from home, or some companies are saying, we're going to ask you to keep working from home. This obviously has huge, this could really shift different real estate and land use things. But in terms of businesses, that trend may not shift back to in-person as quickly as some of us have thought, and it will for some companies. But what do both CEOs and operation managers need to be thinking about in terms of great team management and great execution in a world where we're going to have more dispersed teams more often?
So a lot of what we're screening for is their understanding of technology. What is the tech stack at the company? And not just tech stack in running operations, but tech stack in communications, in connecting your workforce. How do you guys stay flexible and able to work remotely? And then, you know, when we're screening team leaders, we're asking them, have you ever worked with a remote workforce before? How did you build relationships? How did you keep your team connected? How did you work with clients remotely? Because some clients are not having even in-person meetings. So all of these questions we're screening for at the front end, and you know, a compelling story about what they do to stay connected, to build relationships, to stay communicative, to bring people together, to move things forward through technology is a really big piece of the puzzle. And then if we're presenting a candidate in a remote situation, we're presenting the people who understand what those challenges are at the front end and have already sort of navigated them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think working with teams that are even 50% on campus, so to speak, 50% not, it's a whole different management style, Devin. And that's from, you know, a lived experience as well here through COVID of working with different teams. It just takes a different level of follow-up, a different kind of technology collaboration. It is a different way of doing work. It's not the same thing, right?
It absolutely is. And not only is it different than being all in person together, it's different than being all remote. So if everybody's remote, you're relating to everybody in the same way.
Mm.
If half the people are together and half the people are remote, how do you make sure those half are not on an island of their own? How do you mimic or create connection that's already happening with the half that's at the office?
Yeah.
And so I even had a client where we've placed a director level role, really important role for them, because they're growing so much, who really understood remote. And they were pivoting that way. It was a way for them to get more expertise, to have more candidate and talent options, not making them move into the city that they were. But then the team that's still in that city is struggling to connect with the half that's remote.
Hmm.
And so how do you bridge that? That 50-50 split is really a whole other piece of the puzzle too.
Well, we'll look for your book on this topic here within the year, Devin Underwood. I'll be your first purchaser. And no, it's interesting as we come into this conversation, Devin. I had a conversation with a company this morning. They're fully vaccinated, could come back to the office, and their teams flat out said, hey, we could come back. Could we work from home? That would be our preference in perpetuity. We're not afraid. We're not nervous. You know, we could come back if you put your foot down, but we really want to work from home. Now, we're obviously not talking about, like, you know, restaurants or the service industry, Devin, but in some of that, you know, whether it's nonprofit or knowledge work or whatever the case may be, you know, I asked the company flat out. I said, in perpetuity? You mean for the rest of time? Yeah, for the foreseeable future, we're going to, you know, do team meetings together. But other than that, we're going to be in 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 different spots. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. Devin, what services, recap that, what services can you provide companies listening who go, yep, that's me, need to work with Devin, and where can they go find you?
Well, you know, there's really three core services that we offer. There's recruiting, or we call it key position placement. Some people call it executive search, but it doesn't need to be an executive level role. It's whatever role is really impactful for your business right now. This is going to be a key person that's going to change the game, or someone you really need, and there's some nuance there. We sometimes in recruiting call them a unicorn. We do that really, really well. And we also offer RPO services, which means I always need this position. Mm. I need you to create a pipeline that I can consistently pull and hire from. And then we offer consulting and talent strategy. And we offer it now in a much more approachable price point in terms of membership, so that more companies can leverage our resources. In all of those services, we really get to know who you are, who you need, and help you define that. So you're not just having to hand us a rec, and we're not just throwing you resumes. We're really going to work hard to understand it, help you position it, and find the right person that stays.
I love it. Your website, Devin, as we head out here.
Yourtalentstore.com.
Yourtalentstore.com. I would advise, if you're listening, you are a business, get with Devin on this. I've gotten to work with her. She does a fantastic job. Make sure that your company is adapting in the best way possible here after COVID. Devin, we'll see you next week. Thank you as always.
Thanks, Zach.
We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, Tucson, to close out the week. Stay safe out there. Bill Buckmaster at noon.